Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to La Liga Lowdown. It's a midweek treat for you this time. We've got plenty to talk about. We've got a bit of Copa, a bit of La Liga and potentially a bit of Kings League as well. More on that later. I'm your host Matt Clark and I'm delighted to be joined by Roman d'Arche for his second pod of 2023 because you did the recap from the weekend. So welcome back on, Roman.
Thanks, Matt. Yeah, two in a row. Not bad to start of the year. The star of La Liga Lowdown, of course. I have to be here. I'm just kidding. It's always great to join you guys. So let's talk a bit about football.
Awesome. Well, it's been a busy week already in the Copa del Rey. We've had quite a few La Liga sides falling. We'll just talk about that in part one. Quite a few interesting matchups. Third tier, Quetta knocked out Elche. That's probably the biggest shock so far. The small club from an enclave in Northern Africa. They stunned the La Liga strugglers by taking the lead in the first half from the spot and then holding on throughout the second half. We know Elche are bottom of La Liga. We know they've got problems, Roman. But Quetta are bottom of their league too. They are bottom of Primera RFEF. So the fact that they've knocked Elche out is still a big thing, isn't it?
Oh, it's definitely big. I mean, for a club like Ceuta to be beating a first division team, it's always massive, even though, of course, we know that one team is going to be way more motivated than the other because we know that Elche's main focus is La Liga at the moment. Of course, they would have expected to win this game because we're talking about, as you said, a team in a very low division who's also at the bottom of their standings, who's struggling. But, you know, the passion Ceuta have to beat a first division team was just too much in this case, I think, for Elche, who are just horrible this season. I mean, no wins anywhere, basically, you know. I mean, La Liga, at least, they haven't won. And losing here, I mean, was definitely another big, you know, kick in the butt, we could say, for Elche, who need to react as soon as possible. Some say this game might help them really understand what their reality is and have to, like, really work on the transfer market this next month or so to kind of boost the team. That could be helpful in that sense, maybe, but I still think that Elche have a lot to do if they really want to save themselves, because I'm not even sure Machin is the right coach for this kind of situation, you know? So it's going to be very tough for them. This defeat is also very painful for the fans, even though it's true that they have, as I said, they have to focus on La Liga. So it'll be interesting to see how Elche can react, if they can, because honestly I see it very, very complicated.
Yeah, the third tier side, to illustrate once again what an achievement this is, they've won more games in the Copa this season than they have in their league, so really congratulations to them. We'll see who they get in the next round. But yeah, as for Elche, it's hard to see, isn't it? You can look at it and say, well, obviously it's embarrassing, it's a tough blow, it knocks the confidence even further, especially for a new manager like Machin, as you just said. On the other hand, you can say, right, they can forget about the Copa now, because realistically, they didn't have much of a chance to go that far. As soon as they probably faced the La Liga side, they would probably have been knocked out anyway. So you can maybe say, okay, well, that's gone. They can just focus solely on the league now. We kind of saw this with Levante last season. Once they were out of the Copa before Christmas, then after they started to get a few games going and some positive results. But it's a long way back for Elche. Not many people are giving them much hope, are they?
Yeah, definitely. As I said, I mean, Elche just look really bad on the field, off the field, in the Copa del Rey, in La Liga, everywhere. So it's going to be super tough for them. There's always still a bit of hope as long as mathematics allow you to save yourself. But honestly, I don't think many really believe in that possibility.
Well, elsewhere last night in the Copa, there was another shock as Rayo and Doni Iraola's Rayo were knocked out by Sporting Gijón, a brace from Juroš Milovanović, who is now the joint top scorer in the competition with 4. He dumped out Rayo. And did you know, Roman, that the last 3 teams to eliminate Iraola's sides have all gone on to win the Copa?
That's a great stat, Matt. So, I mean, I would love to see Sporting win the Copa del Rey, if it were in Barca, of course. So, I mean, that definitely would be amazing. But honestly, I think that streak might just end this season.
Possibly so, yeah, possibly so. We also had Getafe leading twice against Levante, but they were pegged back and then conceded a stoppage time goal to fall to defeat. So a great result for Javi Calleja at Levante, who's still unbeaten in his first 13 matches in charge. So really good appointment from them. I think we rate him quite highly here, don't we? And good to see him getting a result for Levante. But again, it's a bit of a poor one for Getafe to fall to a second tier side, and that'll keep the pressure on Kike Sanchez Flores, won't it?
Yeah, absolutely. On one hand, I think Calleja is doing fantastic. I mean, here in when he was at Villarreal especially, he had some really good moments, even though, you know, they got rid of him, then they brought him back and all that kind of stuff. But we always saw that he was a very strong manager to have in the first division. So just imagine the second, you know. I think he'll be doing great things with Levante. And talking about Getafe, I was surprised to see them win relatively comfortably against Mallorca on the previous weekend. So I did think that maybe they would keep up that momentum in this Copa del Rey game, but unfortunately for them, it didn't happen. And Kiki, of course, I think he's already under quite a lot of pressure, and this result, as you said, isn't really going to help him too much, because, I mean, Getafe should be capable of beating Levante, even though it's a second division team. It's not one of the easiest matchups maybe you can find at this stage of the competition. But yeah, I think Kike Sanchez Flores has to be very careful, because if he gets another bad streak of games, especially in La Liga, I think he could be looking to leaving once again from the club.
Yeah, watch this space on that one. The Colosseum fans would probably not be too happy to see another couple of defeats. Valencia entered in this stage as one of the 4 Supercopa teams, and they made light work of La Nucía. So too did Villarreal in the end, but they were 1-0 down at half-time in Cartagena, but they responded with 5 second-half goals. That's now 16 goals they've scored in 3 Copa matches. So Kike Setién ball, it's rolling, isn't it, Roman? You like him? You're a big fan?
I'm happy, because I was a bit sad to see how much criticism there was towards him so soon into his managerial career at Villarreal. I thought it was quite unfair, and I think this little break we had the World Cup has given him more time, you know, to implement all his ideas, and not just the results in the Copa del Rey, but also in the mini preseason Kike Setién had with this Villarreal while the World Cup was taking place. They got also really good, some decent results, lots of goals being scored. They got a good result against Valencia, lovely 2-1 win towards the end, which they deserved. So I mean, things are looking up, and it'll be very interesting to see what they can do this next weekend against Real Madrid.
Yes, we'll talk plenty about the upcoming match day in La Liga in part 2, so stay tuned for that. Speaking of Real Madrid, they were also entering in this round. They were pretty stodgy, but they won their game against fourth tier Casareño. Really good fight from the fourth tier side, who were up against a side that had about €350 million worth of talent on the pitch, including Eden Hazard, Militao, Rodrigo. It was a moment of magic from their Brazilian, and then he dedicated his goal to Pelé, which was a very nice touch. Ancelotti had a few things to say about the pitch, which was fair, I suppose, but also to be expected. What did you make of Madrid's performance, Roman?
Well, I think it's the kind of performance you'd expect from Madrid at this stage of the Copa, you know? I mean, we've seen them get eliminated by Alcoyanos, by Alcorcones, by all these teams from lower divisions, and struggle a lot. Sometimes they barely make it past to the next round at this point of the competition. So, I mean, I expected something similar. They didn't come back at their best shape, we could say, against Valladolid the other day. So it's going to take them a little bit to get the ball rolling at a good level, we could say. So I do think that this was maybe expected. They got the job done in the end, which is the important thing for them. That's what they want, you know, and now they can focus on the next match.
Absolutely. And that, of course, is Villarreal, which is one of the bigger games of the weekend. So we'll come on to that, as we say, in part 2. The final game that was played on Tuesday night was an all-La Liga tie It was between Espanyol and Celta. Espanyol had to come from behind to beat them, and it took extra time as well. Agustin Marchesan was sent off in extra time, so Hugo Mayo had to don the gloves to finish the match between the posts, but it was Espanyol who came out on top. So a good win and a good boost for Diego Martinez coming off the back of the derby. Okay, Roman, there's some more games coming up. There's, what is there, 10 more ties in the Copa, including Sevilla in action, Real Sociedad, Atletico Madrid against Oviedo, Barca taking on Inter City, and then on Thursday, Osasuna and Al Gimnastic Betis are facing the lowest ranked side left in the competition, Ibiza, Islas Pitiusas, and then Athletic are also in action too. So, Roman, if there's going to be any shocks in the next couple of days, where do you think it might come?
Well, I have an obvious pick, which might not be so obvious because, you know, football is unpredictable, but definitely I'd go for Sevilla. Seeing their level this year, 2022, especially this season, where they've been playing really poorly in La Liga, not really up to the expectations everybody requires from a club and a squad like Sevilla. I do think that we could see a surprise there because, as we've seen in this in the previous day of Copa del Rey games, where there have been a few surprises. It's tough, you know, it's tough to play against these lower division sides who are super motivated. They're playing in their home ground with their fans. We know that Sevilla is struggling away at home everywhere, but, you know, especially in a stadium where they're not used to playing, that will make it a bit harder for them even. So I think it could be one of the upsets of this round of the Copa del Rey.
Interesting. By the time you're hearing this, listener, you'll probably know the results of those games. So you'll know if Roman is right to pick out Sevilla as a potential victim of the Copa. You can also check out Rory's piece on our Substack, llonline.substack.com. He rounds up all of Tuesday night's action, including all the drama in Northern Africa, as Elche, as we say, were dumped out to third tier side. Before we take a break, let's talk about something a little bit different now, Roman, and this is something you've written about on our Substack. It's the Kings League.
Nice.
Now, for anyone that hasn't heard about it or isn't familiar with it, give us an overview of what it is and why fans should be interested in it.
Well, first of all, it's a new football competition that's been created by Gerard Piqué right after his retirement. He hasn't wasted any time, new project on his hands. And he's working on this very entertaining competition called the Kings League, which is seven-a-side football, so seven versus seven, of course. And basically, it's formed by, I think it was, well, it's 120 players, of course, which are anybody. You know, I myself signed up to try and play in this competition, but there was like over 13,000 petitions, only 170 or 200 got to the final round, and then they did some tests to the players, and then there was a draft where each of the 12 teams got to pick one player until they made a squad of 10. So they each have 10, that's 120 players, and most of these players come from third, fourth divisions, local, regional, Catalan divisions. They aren't like top quality players, but most of them at least are very young, in their early 20s, which have a lot of talent. So, I mean, they could potentially, you know, become important players in the future. I'm not saying first division, but maybe segunda or tercera or something like that. And there are some also players that sign up to this draft, like ex-football players, like there's one from who used to play for the Venezuelan national squad, etc. And then from here on, there's two extra players that each president of each club can sign up, which are usually ex-professional players or currently playing footballers who have no team or who have permission from their squad. For example, Chicharito Hernandez, he played in the first round. Tamudo was playing, who's retired. Capdevila, Berdú, there's plenty of talent there. And what's also special about this competition is that there's a series of rules which have been completely modified in relation to football, so they're not seen or known beforehand in football. For example, there are special power-up cards which each club can use to kind of give them an advantage during the game, or there's different rules, like, for example, you don't kick off from the middle of the pitch. Each team starts on the baseline of each side and they have to run and get the ball. So there's a series of things that make it more entertaining. Sorry, I'm going on for very long. And the presidents of each club are actually streamers, mostly on Twitch, but there's also YouTube guys, TikTok guys, etc. And this kind of helps it to give more movement, make it more popular among that kind of platform of social media, which is also quite interesting because it's free to watch in the end, which is a big boost.
Fantastic, yeah. I mean, there's some big names involved. You've already mentioned a few, but Ibaianos has a team, doesn't he? And Aguero's involved.
There's Aguero, Casillas, Piqué, of course, he's the president. And yeah, they're bringing a very interesting player. Like, for example, for the next match, Aguero's already talked to Javier Saviola, ex-Madrid, ex-Barca. He's going to be playing in the Kings League. Also, Ricardinho, who's one of the best futsal players in the history of the sport. Portuguese guy, really, really talented. He's said he's going to take part. So, I mean, I think this is going to attract a lot of interesting names more and more as the competition evolves, because I think it's really entertaining and fun to watch. I mean, the level is good. So, I mean, it's not just these seven guys who don't know what they're doing. You know, it's actually quite a lot of quality there.
Mm. Well, there you go. It's a fantastic introduction from Roman there. So check it out if you want to. It should be a lot of fun. And as you say, plenty of big names to get you hooked. And yeah, go and look it up. Go and enjoy it. That's a great advert you've done there, Roman. They should hire you as their sales guy. Fantastic stuff. Well, we'll take a quick break now. When we come back, we will talk about the upcoming match day in La Liga, which has, as always, a couple of partidazos. See you soon.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Welcome back to La Liga Lowdown. We are here with our midweek podcast. We're in the middle of a Copa del Rey round of matches, but there is still La Liga to look forward to at the weekend. Plenty of matches. I'd say the pick of the matches is in Madrid. It is Atletico against Barça. A huge game for both the top four race and, of course, the race for the title. Roman, what are your thoughts on this game from a Barça perspective?
Well, from a Barça perspective, maybe we're getting to this game after losing, obviously, against... after drawing against Espanyol, which isn't the best result. I mean, I think we should have made the most of that. So we kind of saw at what level the team is after the World Cup. And it's not great, because before the World Cup, I thought that Barca were actually performing really well, some very good games. I'm hoping that Xavi can kind of fix, you know, those few things that didn't allow us to look as maybe as creative in attack than we did against Espanyol. And I do also hope that the team has this extra motivation when they're playing at a club like Atletico, because I think this season, aside from defeats against Real Madrid and Champions League, I think against other stronger sides, we've performed decently. So I'm hoping that we can do well. But of course, there's also the question of Robert Lewandowski, who apparently won't make it to the game. He's going to be sanctioned for the next 3 matches, as it seems. So that's obviously a big setback. We also have to see what level Atletico de Madrid is at, because they got a good result, even though they did struggle a bit on the previous weekend. So it's going to be interesting, but I don't think it's going to be any of these two sides dominating the game. You know, I think it's going to be quite balanced, but overall I hope that Barca have the edge, you know, and can actually take the 3 points, because they have this superior squad, and I think they play the better football at the moment.
both in action in the Copa on Wednesday. Atleti at Oviedo, Barca at Inter City. So we'll see how they come out from those matches. Atleti haven't included João Felix in their squad for the Copa, so that's one to keep an eye on. He may just be rested, or it could be lots of transfer speculation. He's been in many headlines here in the UK as well as Spain. Arsenal rumoured to be quite heavily linked. I think from Atleti's point of view, though, the key is Griezmann, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Griezmann has been probably their best player this season, or at least the most consistent player, we could say, because others have had moments. Like, for example, João Felix, I think he's playing pretty good at the moment, you know. Despite all the conflict he's had with Cholo before the World Cup, he's come back scoring goals. He played well for Portugal, so I think they can make the most of him in that sense. But we never really know with João Felix, so that's why you have Griezmann on the other hand, who's been really good also in the World Cup. He was possibly one of the best players for most of the competition, and I think he's the guy who can make them step up. He knows Barca pretty well, of course, because he was there, and he never really adapted fully, but he knows how the club works, how the club plays. He can maybe help out Cholo a bit in that sense. Hopefully not, but yeah. And then we'll have to see what level Morata is, who's come back also scoring goals, and the rest of the players, you know. But yeah, definitely Griezmann is their key figure, I think, to get a good result against Barca.
Mm. That game is on Sunday night, and it is live on ITV4, listeners in the UK. That'll be free to air on ITV4, so that's a nice little bonus for you on a Sunday night. Also, another big game involving the title race, top four, etc., European places, Villarreal against Real Madrid. Now, Madrid find it quite hard to travel to La Cerámica, don't they? The last four matches in La Liga at that ground have been draws, with Villarreal starting to maybe click on the Quique Setién. This could be a potential chance for some drop points for Madrid, do you think?
I mean, it could be, especially seeing Madrid's level of late, you know, because they've gotten through their games scraping some results, like before the World Cup against Cádiz, they got that 2-1 really close result against Valladolid. It happened right until at the end when they won 2-0 in the last 10-15 minutes or so. And then we know that before that there was a draw against Girona, a defeat against Rayo. So, I mean, they're not at the best stage of the competition for them, so they really need to improve. Of course, they will have Karim Benzema, who I think is a massive boost for them in attack. You know, with him on the field, it's different. But I do see a Villarreal that's looking more confident, that's looking more dangerous in attack. I think the key will be to see how Villarreal can defend, because they have been much better attacking. They're scoring goals. We're seeing a Capoeira goes forward. We're seeing Chukwueze becoming very important for Quique Setién, which he hadn't been as much for Emery, and I think he has a lot of talent in that sense. As I said, Gerard Moreno not being injured is also crucial. So, I mean, there's a lot of interesting players there, but defensively they have looked a bit shaky, I'd say, because against Valencia, when Valencia scored the first goal through Cavani, for those 5-10 minutes before and after, it felt like more goals could have come against Villarreal. They didn't look very solid. Pau and Albiol don't look like that unbeatable pair of centre-backs that Emery used to have. They've changed maybe a bit, maybe due to the formation, due to the style of play or whatever, but they're not maybe as consistent in general, the backline of four and the goalkeeper. So it'll be interesting to see if they can really keep control of Madrid's counters, because we know that with Vinicius, with Benzema, with Rodrigo, if he's playing, etc., there'll be a lot of danger in that aspect. So definitely I would think there were going to be goals in this one, you know, because both attacks are fantastic and both defenses aren't maybe the best at the moment.
Interesting to see what happens in goal as well, because Pepe Reina made his second debut for Villarreal in La Liga last weekend. But of course, Geronimo Rulli will be back now and in contention. A lot of speculation about his future too. Ajax have been linked quite heavily. Do you think Setién will stick with Reina, or do you think he'll put Rulli back in?
Well, honestly, I'd hope if Rulli is fit and everything, I'd hope he plays him, because for me, he's the better goalkeeper. We know that Rulli does make some big mistakes now and then, but overall, I think he's been very important to Villarreal in the past few years, despite his little moments where he goes a bit bonkers, we could say. but despite that, I think he's a strong goalkeeper. And on the other hand, Pepe Reina didn't give me absolute confidence the other day against Villarreal. I mean, he did make some important saves, but I just don't think he's the kind of goalkeeper a club that's fighting for Europe or even Champions League can depend on that much, you know. So if Rulli leaves or whatever, I think they're really going to be looking into finding another first keeper, because I'm definitely I'm sure that Reina was always intended to be the second goalkeeper of the club, you know. So I don't think he's going to finish the season ahead of Rulli or whoever comes in his place. So hopefully they'll figure this out as soon as possible, but hopefully Rulli can play.
Indeed. Yeah, we'll see what happens there with regards to the goalkeeping situation. Also this weekend, it's a Catalan derby. No, not that one. That was last week. Espanyol Girona. Roman, close to home for you in that part of the world. Be an interesting one, wouldn't it? Espanyol, off the back of that Copa win, Girona have already out of the Copa, so they've had a free week. How do you see this one?
Well, it's definitely going to be interesting. I think all Girona matches are interesting, for starters, because there's usually goals. They're a team that like to have the ball, they like to go forward, they like to generate an attack, and even sometimes they take too many risks, I say, going forward. So that's why it's usually entertaining, because if they concede soon, then they really push forward, and then they have to get their goal, and they usually find it, you know. So against an Espanyol who's also scoring goals, well, at least in the Copa del Rey, they managed to put three past Celta de Vigo. Against Barca, they scored even though it was a penalty. If they have Joselu in good shape, he's definitely going to be a massive danger for Girona. I do think it's going to be entertaining. Both teams really need the wins, you know. They're in a delicate position, especially Espanyol, of course, who are lower in the standings at the moment. But I think it's going to be one very entertaining game to watch.
Mm. Looking forward to that one. That is on Saturday evening, 8 o'clock on, oh, sorry, 9 o'clock Spanish time on Saturday. Let's round up the rest of the games that are taking place this weekend. Friday, we have two games. First of all, it's Elche against Celta. So we'll see again if Celta can recover from their Copa defeat, taken on the Elche side, as we say, without a win in 15, only 4 points on the board. Really getting desperate for them. They will need to start picking up points. Valencia then take on Cadiz. That's a nice evening game at Mestalla. Saturday, we've already mentioned Villarreal Madrid. We also have Mallorca against Real Valladolid before that Catalan derby, Espanyol Girona. And then Sunday, we have four games. Almeria taking on Real Sociedad. Should be a fun one, that. Rayo against Betis, also looking forward to that one. Sevilla, Getafe, before, of course, the main course, Atleti Barça. Monday night sees Athletic take on Osasuna. Anything you want to pick out from those games, Roman, that we haven't already talked about?
Well, I mean, I want to see a bit how Betis does in this game, because against Athletic Club, I think they deserved a bit more. Although this season, they're not looking like the team we all thought that could really compete for Champions League spots, because I thought that Betis were on an upward trend. But then this season, they have been maybe struggling a bit more than I expected. They're still in a good position, of course, to qualify for even the Champions League. But they are getting too many players sent off of late. You know, I think this season there's been four, five or six at least players sent off from Betis, which of course has really trumped their chances in some of those games where they maybe deserve more. Also, they had Fekir injured for a while, Canales, etc. So I mean, I think having most players fit and no suspended players is definitely gonna help them a lot. But then Rayo Vallecano is a strong team at home. We know they're playing well in La Liga, and that will be definitely a one to watch. And then also staying with Andalusian clubs, I want to see what Sevilla does, Copa del Rey aside, because I think those games can be tricky. There's always rotations, anything can really happen, although I said there might be surprises. Even if there are, I think that the league game is going to be something completely different for them, and playing against a Getafe who got a pretty decent result last week, I think won't be easy for them, because Getafe are a team that know how to close down well, and then have two or three decent players in attack, with of course Borja Mayoral and Unai Unal, who are pretty strong, and then Munir as a backup. So I mean, they could do a bit of damage there to Sevilla. So yeah, I mean, these two games, at least aside from of course the Atletico, Barça's, Villarreal's, etc., are two that I want to see and keep a close eye on.
Let me put this to you, Roman. We're almost done, but let me put this to you. Since Sevilla last won a home game in La Liga, they signed Isco, they signed Kasper Dolberg, they sacked Julen Lopetegui, they've appointed Jorge Sampaoli, they've seen their right back score the winning penalty in a World Cup final shootout, they've broken the contract with Isco, and they've sent Dolberg back. So, yeah, they still haven't won in the league at home this season. Is that going to change this weekend?
I mean, I would love to cheer up Sevilla fans and say, yes, it's going to happen this weekend, but honestly, I just can't, you know, because I think there's a lot of work to be done. I don't know if Sampaoli has enough or has what it takes to kind of revert the situation. Of course, he's slightly improved the team, we could say, in terms of results, but still they're right at the bottom, you know, of the competition, which is awful to see for Sevilla. And as I mentioned in the previous pod with Tom, I think the problem is not just in terms of the squad and the players, but also goes higher up in terms of the economy of Sevilla, which isn't going through a good moment. That's why they had to sell players like Diego Carlos, like Koundé, and of course that really limits Monchi a lot, and they depend a lot on Monchi's magic, we could say. But of course, if he's limited, it makes it even harder to target the right players, and most of his signings from this summer have been quite average, we could say. I don't think there's any guy you say, wow, this was an amazing signing by Monchi. And we always say that every year, you know. Mm. And this maybe it's one of the first years where we can't spot a quality player. I'm not saying Marca or any of the other players can now start performing really well and we'll say, wow, Monchi did it again. But the feeling after this first part of the competition is that he hasn't really managed to make it. And maybe it has to do because he was limited economically, you know, because of the club's troubles, as I said. So now they have a second opportunity in this transfer market for Monchi to come up with a real magic, because there's a lot to do in this Sevilla team, and when you're down there in those bottom positions, it's really, really hard to break free, you know, and to climb up. So if they get in any deeper, I'll be really worried, but at the moment they still have hope, so let's see if they can start changing the dynamic.
Yeah, Monchi's already been busy, as we say. Dolberg and Isco, yeah, gone in the door. Loic Badé on loan, centre back as well, so mm-hmm. They'll be hoping that he can stay fit for a start. But yeah, they've got a run of fixtures now, which on paper looks quite favourable. But of course, that's also against teams around them. So if they don't win those, it starts to look really complicated. So a big month ahead for Sevilla. We shall see how they get on, as well as all the rest of the games. We will be back with a recap on Monday. So look forward to that. Thank you very much for your insight, Roman. Great as ever to talk to you.
Thanks for having me, Matt. Always a pleasure.
Indeed. Pleasure is all mine. check out our transfer thread on Twitter. It's back. It's a staple of La Liga Lowdown in the transfer window. Every addition made by a La Liga side goes on the thread, so you can scroll up and back and see who's been doing the business and seeing how the squads are shaping up. So check that out. Also follow us at La Liga Lowdown and check out our Substack, llonline.substack.com, for new content every single day. We've got stuff from Copa del Rey, Kings League, La Liga, everything. So you're well covered there. Thanks again for listening, and look forward to enjoy the football this weekend, and we'll be back soon. Adios.
Gol. Qué doble regate de Rodrigo. Tuvo espacio y lo supo hacer. Se fue de uno, de otro, y con la derecha batió a Iván Moreno. Marca el Madrid. Marca Rodrigo. Qué golazo de Rodrigo.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.